Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Brother Lee, how do I do that? I don't know how to do that. So. Amen. Thank you so much, worship team. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for singing and leading us in worship. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. And we'll begin with verse 14. And while you're turning, let me just, do I need to say that again? I think somebody's looking. Revelation 3 and beginning with verse 14. My first pastoral assignment was actually two churches together. I think I've talked to you at times a little bit about that, what an experience it was. One of the things that I remember from that experience was one of the churches had a sign on the wall, and it said this: if every member of this church was like me, what kind of church would this church be? I want you to turn to your neighbor. I know we're sort of scattered out a little bit this morning, but turn to your neighbor and say to them, if every member of this church was like you, what kind of church would this church be? Well, that would be that's an interesting question, isn't it? It sort of takes the responsibility off of me and puts it on you. And what kind of church would this be if all the members of this church were like you? Because when I think about myself and I think about what kind of church this would be if everybody was like me, boy, that's alarming. I would not want everybody in this church to be just like me. I want you to be better than I am. Amen. I want you to be above where I am. And I want you to be a greater asset to this church than I am. Because I want you to be better than I am today. I want you to be above me in your walk with the Lord. Because we're all looking at one another. We're supporting one another. We're the household of faith. There are no big I's and little U's. At least there should not be in the house of God. We're all one big family in the house of God. You're not any less important than anyone else in the house. We're all the same. We all walk under the same banner. And that banner that is over us is the Lord. Amen? And so what a proposition we are facing today in that regard. I've entitled my message this morning, Looking for a Church. Someone suggested earlier, they said I should have put Looking for a Church. If you're looking for a church, you've found it today. This is the church. Amen? And we want everybody to be a part of our church family. So if you are a first-time guest here today, let us welcome you and just extend to you an invitation just to be yourself, worship with us today. Enjoy yourself and then come back, hopefully, and be a part of our church congregation. If you're looking for a good church, I don't know too many that's any better than this one. And even if you have to drive a ways, they say that sometimes the drive is worth making the drive to be here. Amen. It makes a difference to be in a church where you feel the Spirit of God moving. There are a lot of dead churches across America. But Crystal River Church of God is not a dead church. We are very much alive. The Holy Spirit of God is very much alive where we are, and He's involved in what we're doing. Now let's go back to the scripture, if you will. Revelation chapter 3, let's begin with verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The disciple John, the beloved disciple, as he was known, was at this point, the writing of this book in the Bible, at this point in his life, he was a prisoner for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had been exiled to an isle, to a place called the Isle of Patmos. Now, I want you to know that the Isle of Patmos was not a vacation paradise. They did not have palm trees and coconuts growing and pineapples growing out back somewhere. This was a desolate, terrible, horrible place to be. It was a place that prisoners were sent to serve out their sentence. And most of the time, it was to be a life sentence on the Isle of Patmos. To be exiled to the Isle of Patmos was a capital offense. It was a serious offense. Most people never returned from the Isle of Patmos, yet we know that history tells us that John the Beloved did come off of the Isle of Patmos and continued his ministry for some time. But at this point in his life, he was on this desolate isle, and he was a prisoner, and he was suffering even to live from day to day. There were no comforts of home on this isle, and there were nothing on this isle to make life comfortable. Everything that he endured day by day was to make his life as miserable as it could be. And it was in these conditions that John the Beloved one day looked up and he saw the Lord Jesus coming and revealing himself to John on this isle. And he identified himself, Jesus did, by saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Can I tell you this morning, I love that passage. And then it's also repeated a little bit further down in the same chapter. But I love this passage because it lets me know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. What he was yesterday, he will be today. And what he is today, he will be tomorrow. You don't have to worry about God changing. We change all the time. We change our mind every day. You ladies know how often you change your minds. Amen? And because you're a lady, you have that prerogative to do that. But it is quite frustrating. I just want to go on the record and say that it is quite frustrating sometimes when you ladies change your mind so often. But you have a right to change your mind. But I just wanted to tell you this morning that when we serve the great King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he is the same today as he was yesterday, as he will be tomorrow. You don't have to worry about him changing his mind. He's always the same. He can be the constant in your life that you know will never change. Every day when I look in the mirror, I am disappointed in what I see because change takes place. I wish I had time to elaborate on that a little bit, but maybe for your sake it's better that I don't. But change does take place, and I see that happening in my life. But Jesus identifies himself to John on the Isle of Patmos as I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. And then in chapter 1, verse 11, John is instructed to write letters to the seven churches of Asia. Now, there were literally seven churches that were in Asia at that time. These seven churches also can represent, and I believe do represent, seven distinct church periods in the history of our world. Now, some have suggested that the characteristics of these seven churches could also be true in other churches as well. One, whatever characteristic one particular church may have may also show up somewhere else. So to say that that was simply specifically for that church is not always holding true, because it could be characteristic of all the churches as a group. But I would like to just suggest to you this morning that it is my studied opinion that these seven churches do represent seven distinct periods of time in church history. Now, I want us to look at those churches this morning, and I know it'll take a few minutes for us to do that, but I think it's important that we do. We want to look at these seven churches. The first church was the church at Ephesus. This was known as the loveless church because Jesus said they had lost their first love. Smyrna was the next church that was listed, and it was the persecuted church, the church that fell into great persecution and could have been the time when Nero was in control and many, many Christians lost their lives during that time. Pergamos was the third church, which was the compromising church. And this church needed to repent because they had compromised the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thyatira was the corrupt church. It was this church that had a false prophetess that was there. And if I could just stop long enough to say that she was referred to as Jezebel. Now, what I would like to say to you this morning, no church needs a Jezebel spirit in it. And if there is a church that you know of that has a Jezebel spirit in it, which is a spirit of control, Jezebel was known for controlling King Ahab in the Old Testament. That Jezebel was known to manipulate and control the king of Israel, Ahab, and he was known, and she was known, to be the worst king and queen that ever reigned on the throne. I want to tell you this morning. And so that Jezebel spirit is a spirit of control. Now, I want to say to you this morning as well that there are times in churches where there is a Jezebel spirit that develops or comes into a particular church. And it is a controlling spirit. And it wants to tell the preacher what he can preach and what he cannot preach and what he can do and what he cannot do. We don't need a Jezebel spirit in the Crystal River Church of God. Amen. I'm here to put you on notice that if that spirit walks in the door, you as a child of God need to rebuke it where it is and say you are not welcome in this church. Amen. We want to be under the anointing and the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost of God. We don't need a Jezebel spirit trying to tell this church what to do. Amen, amen, and amen. That's good preaching, Brother Cash. Amen. Brother Ronnie would like that if he heard that this morning. We don't need that. No church needs that false prophetess Jezebel controlling the church. The next church is the church of Sardis. It was known as the dead church. They had fallen asleep, and they were dead. I want to tell you this morning, there are a lot of dead churches across America today. There was a time, maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself right now, there was a time when churches flourished in America. We went through a period of time where churches were flourishing and churches were growing and new churches were being started and new churches were popping up all over the country and we were winning people to the Lord. But I want to tell you this morning, the church growth rate in America is about 2% at the present time. We are far, far behind. We have millions of people coming into America every year who need to hear the gospel story. That Jesus Christ saves sins and he saves sinners and he gives them the joy of the Lord. But our churches are not meeting the task because our churches are not growing in the time that we're living in. They have fallen asleep. The next church is the Philadelphia church, which was the faithful church. This was the church that had endured temptations and trials and persecutions with patience. And then last is the church of Laodicea, which is known as the church that had lukewarm faith. It is this church that is representative of our present time that we're living in now. We passed through the Philadelphia church age where the church grew and the church flourished and the church was great and we were reaching around the world and we have reached around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now we have come into the Laodicean church age where the church is represented as not hot nor cold. Now I'm not talking about our church here specifically, but I'm talking about the church world in general. Jesus is seen on the outside of this church knocking on the door saying, "Open the door and let me come in." I don't know how you look at that, but I look at that as a very difficult and a very perplexing situation. Jesus ought to be the center of every church. Amen. We sing a song sometimes about let Jesus be the center of our life. And Jesus ought to be the center of this church. It's not about you. It's not about who you are or who I am or even who Pastor Ronnie is or Pastor Steve is. It's not about us, but it's all about Jesus. Can I tell you this morning, church is all about Jesus. It's not about superstars. It's not about movie stars. It's not about somebody on the television and what they promised to send you. I want to tell you the church ought to be about Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, raised from the dead and coming again. That's what the message of the church should be. But in this church age, we see Jesus standing outside the church, knocking on the door saying, "Let me come in." Lukewarmness is the spirit and the attitude of this church. It's not hot nor cold. Can I tell you this morning that lukewarmness has opened the door to a lot of things in this church world that is bringing us down? Lukewarmness has opened the door for liberal theology that will tell us that you don't have to believe the Bible anymore. It's just a fairy tale. It's just a little guidebook that you can go by if you want to. And if you don't want to abide by the Bible, you just do it your way. I'm here this morning to tell you that is a lukewarm spirit. And that is not what we need in the church. We need a fire of revival that will start in the altar and burn through this building until every soul that walks in the doors of this church building, they are electrified by the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. Sinners who walk in cannot stand to leave a sinner. They will be compelled to fall on their knees and serve the living God. Amen. I don't want lukewarmness. I don't want to be known as hot nor cold. I want to be on fire for God. I want the Holy Ghost of God burning in my life. And I believe that you as a church, you want the Holy Ghost of God burning in your heart in the midst of this congregation so that we can be everything that God wants us to be. Oh, I could talk about the disregard for the authority of the Bible. I could talk about seeker-friendly churches that say, just tell us what you want and we'll make the church fit your desire. God help us. God help us when we've come to that place where we make the church fit the desires of the people that want to come. I thought church was about holding up a standard and saying, this is the standard that we live by. And if you're going to come to this church, you need to measure up to what this book says. It doesn't matter what you want or what's comfortable to you. Some people say, well, I want to go to a church where they don't preach against sin. Actually, I'm going to tell you, there are pastors who have made statements to the effect that we never preach against sin in our church. Can I ask you, how does a sinner know he's a sinner if you don't preach against sin? It's the spirit of the age that we're living in, worldliness. Worldliness. I know I'm old-fashioned, and I'm going to say this, and everybody may not like it, but I'm just going to say to you this morning, we've come to a place in America where the church has become so worldly, we can't tell the difference between the church and the world. And the world has become churchy and the church has become worldly. And God help us, that's the spirit of lukewarmness that has come in upon us. But God help us not to be subject to lukewarmness. So let us pray through until the fire of God begins to burn brightly in our hearts and our lives. I knew I was going to have a problem with time this morning, and time is catching up with me. Can I suggest to you that we are living in the Laodicean church age? We're living in a time of lukewarmness, but it's not all lost because there's still a God in heaven who knows where we are. There's still a God in heaven who knows what we need. And if we'll seek after Him and call upon His name, God will show up. Amen. There are a lot of dead churches across America because God left a long time ago. Nobody prayed. Nobody sought the face of God. Nobody rescued sinners from the gates of hell. Churches have died because of lack of enthusiasm, lack of interest, lack of prayer, lack of Bible application. But I want to tell you this morning that revival fires still burn in the heart of God. God is a God of revival and renewal. God is one who will come and touch us and lift us up and make us to be everything that He wants us to be if we'll give Him a chance. So what kind of church are we looking for? What kind of church do we need to be? I think the Bible tells us that. How can we make that transition then and not be a lukewarm church in the day that we're living? I think the Bible gives us an example of that in the book of Acts. Go back and look at the book of Acts, and I think you can see how the church should be and what the church should be doing. If you go back to the book of Acts, you'll find out that the church is made up of genuine believers. Those who came to Christ became a part of the church. And the Bible says that multitudes at times were saved in the book of Acts. They started off with just a few, but when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, thousands were saved on that one day and added to the church. Many came to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word church itself in the original language means called out ones, those who have been called out. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 is a very familiar passage of scripture to all of us because that's where Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. I want you to know this morning that every one of you that is sitting in this building this morning, you have been called of God to be who you are today and to be where you are. You're not here by accident. You're not an accident that took place somewhere, but you are called of God to be in the church this morning. So the word church simply means those who have been called, and I like the fact that we've been called, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, we have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Most of us, all of us, should I say, were walking in darkness at one time. We were walking under the bondage of sin. We were walking according to the course of this world. We were walking according to the dictates of our own fleshly, lustful hearts. And we were in darkness. We were walking around in darkness until one day Jesus came and found us and saved us and washed us and called us to be children of the living God. Amen. I don't know how you feel about that, but I'm glad that one day He found me where I was lost and undone without God on my way to hell, but Jesus Christ found me in that dark condition, and He saved me and rescued me and forgave me of my sins, and today I'm on my way to heaven because He found me and called me out of darkness. Can I just say, when He calls you out of darkness, it is not appropriate for you to go back. When He calls you out, stay out. The devil wants to drag you back in, but when God calls you out of darkness, stay out of darkness. Don't go back in. I know it'll come back. The old habits will come back. The old life will come back. All of those things will come back and try to pull you back away from God, down from the grace of God, bring you back into an active, sinful lifestyle again. But this morning, I want to tell you, those that God has set free are free indeed. Just say no to sin. Say no to the devil. Give him a swift kick every time he comes around, and make up your mind, you're not going to go back, you're going forward. It doesn't matter what it takes. It doesn't matter what you have to give up. It doesn't matter what you have to adjust. It doesn't matter what you have to change. It doesn't matter what the devil may say or what he doesn't say. You've made up your mind, you're going to make it through, and you're determined to make it through all the way. Be determined and God will be faithful to you. If you're going to give the Lord a hand clap, you give Him a good one. Everybody together. I think Peter set the standard for memberships in Acts chapter 2, verses 37, 38, and 39. Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, and when he finished his sermon, the people that had listened to him said, "What shall we do?" And in verse 38 and 39, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." Repent and be baptized. The word repent means to change one's mind. Repentance is not just the words of saying, "Forgive me." Repentance means that you have changed your mind. And this is what Peter was saying to the men of his day. They had heard what Peter had preached, and what his sermon was, that you took this Jesus Christ and you crucified Him and nailed Him to a tree, and He came to save you and set you free, but you didn't recognize Him. You rejected Him. You turned your back on Him, and you crucified Him and nailed Him to a cross. You killed Him. And Peter said, "I'm here today to declare that this Jesus that you killed on the cross is the same Jesus that has shed this baptism of the Holy Ghost, and He's alive, and He's alive forevermore." And he said, "You need to repent, change your mind, and believe that Jesus is, in fact, who He said He was, the Son of God." To repent means to change your mind. Turn around and go in a different direction. I was lost. And when I came to Jesus, I repented. I realized that I was on my way to hell. But I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. I wanted to serve the Lord. I didn't want to wind up in that place called hell. And when Jesus came to me, I changed my mind. I repented of my sins. I repented of my lifestyle. I repented of walking in ignorance of His way. And I repented for rejecting Him and living my own life according to the flesh and the dictates of my own heart. And I changed my mind in that moment. I changed my mind. I repented. And I said, "God, I don't like the way I'm going. And I like the way that You want me to go. And I want to be a Christian. Christian. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be able to go to heaven. I want to have a good life. I want to be blessed of the Lord. I want the good things that God has in store for me. And so I changed my mind and I turned around and I said, Jesus, I will follow you. That's what repentance is all about. It's a change of mind. And when you change your mind, you also change your actions. Amen? This may not be a great illustration, but it is an illustration. When I got married, I had to do a lot of changing. Do I want to be happy? Or do I want to be right? See, that's the question. And so, when I got married, I had to do a lot of changing in my life. I had to do a lot of things that I didn't want to do and didn't like doing, but I knew it made Jane happy. And I decided early on in my life that I wanted to be a happy man. And I knew that in order to be a happy man, I had to do things that made her happy. I wanted Jane to be a happy lady. And I had to do a lot of changing of my mind. I had to do some changing of the thought process in my brain. And I had to learn how to do things differently. I had to learn how to do things that was acceptable to my new wife because I wanted her to be happy. Now I could have put my foot down. And I could have said, I'm the man of this house. You'll do what I tell you to do. And if you don't like it, so and so and so. I could have done that. And there are a lot of men who have taken that position in life. And they have tried to assert their manly abilities. And they have run into trouble. You put your foot out there, somebody's going to stomp it, I guarantee you. Somewhere you need to change your mind and repent and do your first works over. Because in order to make your marriage work, and I'm not the marriage expert here this morning, Brother Steve is, in order to make your marriage work, you have to make some adjustments, do you not? You have to make some changes in your life. Now, it is also a two-way street, so ladies, Don't jump up and down and crow too soon because you have to make some adjustments too. Amen? Everything that I do is not wrong. Some things I have to assert my authority and say, I'm not changing on this item. I've made a lot of concessions to make you happy, but on this one thing, I'm not changing my mind. Well, I say that, but I'm not always successful. So what kind of church do we want to be a part of? We want to be a part of a church where there are genuine believers, not hypocrites. And I just want to say, you know, people say, well, I'm not going to church because of the hypocrites. Well, at least they're coming to church. At least they're putting themselves in a position where the Holy Ghost can get a hold of their heart and they can come to an altar and pray through and get things right with God and no longer be hypocritical. You hear what I'm saying? But people use that excuse. Oh, yeah, there are hypocrites in the church. We're not going to deny that. We don't intend to deny that because it's true. There are people who come to church who are hypocritical. They come to church and sing the songs and praise the Lord, and they do all the things that we do. But when they walk out the door, they're just as mean and cantankerous and devilish and sinful as they were when they walked in the door. Amen, Brother Cash. We need to be a Pentecostal church. Thank God for Pentecost. We are a Pentecostal church. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's who we are. If you don't like that, then go down and join the Baptist church because they don't believe in that like we do. And that's not a throne a stone cast toward the Baptist folks. They just don't believe it like we do. But we are Pentecostal. Everybody agree with that this morning? Raise your hand if you do. We are Pentecostal. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm skipping because I want to get to this point this morning. The church needs to be a supernatural church. The church in the book of Acts was a church that was full of genuine believers who had made up their mind they were going to serve Jesus even if it meant their life. They were genuine believers. The church in the book of Acts was a Pentecostal church. Go back and read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and it'll tell you that. Read Acts chapter 10. Read Acts chapter 19. All of those locations tell you that they were Pentecostal in their emphasis. They believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But here's where I want to go right now, and that is to say to you that the church in the book of Acts was a supernatural church. Acts chapter 3, Paul and John were going up into the temple at the hour of prayer, and they encountered a lame man, and he asked alms of them. And they said, "We don't have any money to give you, but we're going to give you what we have." What did they have? They had freshly come out of the upper room, and the power of the Holy Ghost was on their life. And they reached out and took him by the hand and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man was healed in his ankle bones, and he rose up and walked and went into the temple with them, leaping and jumping and praising God. I just came by to tell you this morning that the church that we need to be is a supernatural church where healings and miracles and wonders are done in the name of Jesus. If you continue reading that story on through, they put Peter and John in prison. And they threatened them, Brother Dennis, and said, "Don't you preach in Jesus' name anymore. We charge you. Do not preach in His name." And they would have done more, but they were afraid of the people and what they would say because there was great influence in the city over this newfound Christianity and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they didn't want to riot. And so they eventually let Peter and John out of prison. And they went out to their own company, and guess what they prayed? "Lord, we're so privileged that we've been counted worthy to suffer persecution for your sake. We want you to take care of us. Now, Lord, tell us where we can hide and get away. Tell us where we can put this thing under a bushel. Tell us how we can not get out and bring persecution to ourselves." No, that's not what they prayed. They said, "Oh God in heaven, grant unto your servants that we may preach this gospel with power, and signs and miracles and wonders be done in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Oh, I want to tell you, church, we are a supernatural church where signs and miracles and wonders can be done and are done in our midst. Woo! Ura mandose kemi. Yeda mandosa. Yeda boroso keni nisokora. Yeda manasaha. "Behold my hand, saith the Lord. I will stretch forth my hand and perform miracles and signs and wonders in your midst. Only believe, for all things are possible, saith the Lord." Brother Head, you've been going to the hospital too much. You know, we talked about that. You've been going to see too many doctors. Oh, the church is a supernatural church. We believe in healing provided for those in the atonement. We believe that by His stripes we are healed. Stretch your hand this way. Father, in the name of Jesus, let a miracle of healing take place in Ed's body today. every sickness, every infection, every disease that has come upon him, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and we declare a miracle of healing in his life this morning. Heal him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen, amen, and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I don't know about you, but I still believe in the miracle working power of God. God is a miracle worker. Anything that we need from him, he can do it. If it's healing for our body, our soul, our mind, whatever it is, God can do it because he is more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. I remember the old timers talking about the miracles of God and how that often in their church services, the buildings would fill with a haze. The Shekinah glory of God would come in and fill the buildings. I remember old Sister Effie Campbell shouting under the power of the Holy Ghost, walking over and putting her hands on a red hot old stove sitting in the middle of the floor and never one time be burned. I'm telling you, the church of this generation needs to be a church that believes in signs and wonders and miracles. There are things that are going to happen to you in your life that you can't get out of. There are things that are going to happen to you that you can't find an exit. You don't have an exit strategy. You can't find your way out. You don't know what to do. I know many of you right here this morning, you've been shaking your head and you don't know what to do. You've come to your wit's end. You've tried to do everything that you know to do, but it's not working. Can I tell you this morning, turn it over to the hands of the mighty God of heaven, because with him all things are possible. Brother Cash, I've been praying for my teenager and I just can't get through, and I'm not doing anything. I can't get through to them, and they're just getting worse and worse and worse all the time. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, quit your trying and turn it over to God, because with God, all things are possible. Amen. There's some things that you can't do. There's some things that I can't do. But I know there's a God in heaven. With him, all things are possible. Amen. When I reach the end of my ability, we just begin to see what God can do. Amen. When I get to the place that I can't do it anymore, I release it to God. Then God takes over and he can do super abundantly above all that I think according to the power that worketh in us. Oh, hallelujah! I'm serving a living God who is more than able this morning to do exceedingly great and wonderful things for me. Brother Dennis, would you come, please? I know I'm way over time. Brother Lee, I couldn't make that adjustment too well. Anybody in this house believe in miracles? Anybody in this house need a miracle? I'm not the miracle worker. I've seen these charlatans come along, Brother Dennis, that seemingly have stardust in their hands. You know, they want to come and just sort of sprinkle everybody with a little spiritual stardust and so forth and so on. Charlatans. Most of them want your money. Most TV preachers want your money. And people will send money to TV preachers and won't even pay tithes to their local church. Didn't want to say that, but I did. If you're in the house this morning, would everyone stand? If you're in the house this morning and you need a miracle, I know it's time for Sunday school or Christian education and all that, but if you need a miracle, I want you to come. We're going to pray with you. Because I believe that I believe what I preach, and I believe that there are miracles that miracles are available for us in the church today.
You're my healer.
You don't have to send $1,000 to some TV preacher that'll send you an anointed prayer cloth. Are you listening to me? You don't have to send off somewhere for your miracle. The miracle is in the house this morning. I said the miracle is in the house this morning. The miracle worker is in the house this morning. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to send any money anywhere. The miracle worker is in the house this morning. Would you stretch your hand this way if you want to? If you will, would you come down and join us? Would you leave your seat and come down and join us and believe for miracles this morning in this altar? In the name of Jesus, come on down.
I believe you're my healer.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.